on, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 63. He did not correct me, so I know it's correct. Yes. He did not correct me, so I know it's right. We're fine. I'm your host, Blue Squadron, joined as always by my wonderful co-hosts. We'll start with J-Kun today.
Welcome to... Oh, wait. Hi, my name is...
Oh, my God!
Rick, I thought you were going to start... Hi, I'm going to make a movie with 765 Gizmer. I do a lot of in-game PvP contests, such as Owens and Dungeons. I'm still grinding for Devil Rings. You can find me over at twitch.tv/JKunVTV before the T.
Okay, right on. And part of the reason we started with Jay today is because Blonde Bear has some big news for us. Blonde, how are you today?
I'm good. Hi, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear where I can... finally play BDO and do whatever I want, because I have received the final piece of the Merchant Ring that I've been going for 3 years. I got the Olin's piece this morning, so I'm very, very, very happy.
Congratulations, very relaxed, man. Reporter.
Very chillin'.
Some people just never struggle.
Play the game.
Honestly, some people never struggle. But congratulations. That's actually big grats. Absolutely massive. How many hours do you think it was total?
For Olin specifically, it was roughly about 2,000, a little over probably at this point. A little over 2,000. For the total thing, we're looking like close to 3,500 to 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I'd say that was close to what my what my compass grind was for the Elton piece. Like your Olin's piece took it was like the Elton piece. Like and
I think there definitely could have been a lot more hours put into it, but the problem is that like having to make a group for Olin's, and it's definitely not as optimized as it was, as it is now. Like it was a lot harder to do stuff back in the day than like now. You can basically go in solo normal Olin's. You weren't able to do that like when it first came out. And I think I definitely would have had it a lot sooner if it was a solo spot. But it is what it is, and we keep on trucking along, and we're officially done with it. Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Right on. Yeah, no, absolutely massive. That's huge gains. You're there with Blonde Bear, of course, has one tapped basically every accessory he's ever touched in videos. So he did, suffer appropriately for his Olin's piece. And now that he has not suffered, we have nothing to hate him for now, or not hate him. But there's a lot to talk about today, as there is, bro, the Global Labs is kind of a humdinger. Did you guys get through like reading all of it? Because like, bro, I was a day and a half late on releasing my video on Global Labs because I couldn't stream on Friday because I was like moving my grandma out of her house. And I was still the first creator to get a video out about it because the patch notes are so long.
Yeah,
it is, they're girthy. Insane. They're girthy. That was an interesting word choice right there. Next, he's going to throw around flaccid. That's crazy. So Blonde, did you get through them all too?
I did not get through it all, actually.
Oh, perfect. Well, I'm an expert, so I can explain it all.
Perfect. I'd love to hear it, because it was a lot.
Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous amount, and chat forced me to read it to everybody, because, let's be honest, chat don't read good. I would be like, guys, we're just going to skip this, because we don't really need to read. They're like, read it. there's some big damage reduction and evasion changes. We knew that these changes were coming through for quite some time, but we finally got like the specifics on it. People are in full panic mode, basically across the board, because there are some massive changes to classes here. In addition to how damage reduction and evasion work, but more importantly, how super armor and frontal guard are essentially going to work as well, are pretty massive. So like, JD, you want to kind of lead off with like the thing that kind of stood out the most to you?
It was probably the super armor and frontal guard changes that surprised me the most. That came out of nowhere to me. But for viewers who haven't seen it yet, basically everybody's super armors will by default have 10% DR added to them, and then for specific classes it might be 15. It might be 20. It might be 20.
Yo, what up, Tekton? How you doing, man?
For those tankier classes, like Striker,
we're playing Weathering Waves later.
DR on their super armors.
And then this is my second time streaming today. Shield class. We're on a two a day.
extremely high DR based on the sizes of their shield is what they said on the dev notes. And so no Succession Nova's shield will get 60% damage reduction whenever she's frontal guarding. For smaller shield classes like Warrior, Guardian, and Valkyrie, it's 40%. For Succession Valkyrie, it's 30%. And so that was an interesting change that it's kind of like, I don't know, like very flavorful to the class that shield class, like your shield actually matters now for that kind of stuff. And so that was the most surprising for me. So,
bro, the damage reduction, 60% damage reduction when in a frontal guard is absolutely insane. Like, it's game-changingly crazy. Like, we Suck Nova went from dumpster fire garbage to like, okay, hey, this might actually be playable. In like one look, Valkyrie went from the best class in the game to get this, the best class in the game by a margin, by a decent bit. Like, bro, the shield classes are up tremendous, and Zerker just keeps getting, buffs too. Also, Striker Mystic tankiness is up tremendous as well. Like, the frontline, like, Bruiser tanks in the game all got massive buffs, basically across the board. And I don't really know. I know Blonde Bear is probably fully in favor, although Scholar didn't get dick for changes.
Scholar's not, it's not everything, right? We'll see more, but yeah, I've heard a lot about this.
There's probably going to be an adjustment period.
There's going to be an adjustment period. Definitely the first wave of stuff is not going to be the final thing, but this is in tandem with like the hits changes, right? So the reason we're getting this is to go with the amount of hits. So like, obviously we don't know until we've seen it, but let's hope that PA's done the math right. Or maybe they're changing the meta completely. Maybe they're going to make it a lot longer time to kill, so that way there's more actually brawling rather than... It is really weird when you have some classes that like live in super armor like Zerker, and then like you're just gonna have like way more survivability. But maybe that's gonna, because they're gonna pump up the damage percentage on ability so much that like they need that reduction. I'm really curious how it's going to apply.
They said they didn't want a one shot meta anymore, and I said be careful what you wish for. They said players have been complaining about a one shot meta. Yeah, they said players have been complaining about a one shot meta for a long time, and we're here to try to fix this,
right? Okay.
Be careful what you wish for, because when you don't have a one-shot meta, what you have is an unkillable frontline.
An unkillable frontline meta,
like a completely unkillable frontline. Some of the classes, in my opinion, kind of got absolutely demolished. If I'm being honest, like Hash got, so all of the classes got percent accuracy.
Yeah,
like base on their class, instead of having like percent accuracy on every single skill, they got like percent accuracy on their class, like specifically, and then they got accuracy buffs on top of it. Like Witch got 25%, for example. Hash got zero. 0% base accuracy with like no buffs.
Don't we like know that they have accuracy issues too? Like,
yeah, like literally thrown into the dumpster and discarded. As they should be. Yeah, deserved. Just kidding. But Hash Veins are kind of down tremendous on it. I think that across the board, there's also tankiness changes too. So everybody in the game is getting DR. You're getting DR for just having DP. So the more DP you have, you're going to have more damage reduction. If anyone remembers,
really interesting.
Yeah, if anybody remembers Renown back in the day and how well that worked.
Yes, sir. It was awesome.
The if anyone doesn't know, your gear score used to be tied to how tanky you were. So like the more gear score you had, number up good. So the more gear score you had, the tankier your class felt. And that's just kind of how Renown worked. It was pretty crazy. And what this did was it made this huge gap between like an end game player and like an early game player that just didn't have that end game gear score and have that like percent DR in Renown. This time when they, like, I didn't say they brought Renown back, but like they kind of did, right? It's not percent DR.
It's very reminiscent of it.
Yeah, it's not percent DR this time. It's like a flat amount of damage reduction. And now that percent, or like that flat amount of damage reduction, is not inconsequential. You're getting like 81 DR. Keep in mind, this is on top of the damage reduction, like percentage, like the brackets that you had before. So like you're getting 30% DR for hitting 401. You're getting another 81 DR on top of it, and then you're getting 30% of that 81 DR, so you're getting close to 100 DR just for free. Just when the patch goes live, boom, your character's just that much tankier.
Yeah, I'm really curious.
I imagine... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I imagine that might be due to just like how the hit changes work, because, you know, like they reduce the amount of hits by 70 to 80% is what they said. So, you know, your ability that may have hit 10 times now hits like 3 times. And so maybe they need to increase the amount of DR to sort of like, you know, put it where it was before. I'm not sure. But additionally, evasion too, although like some classes may have gotten, you know, higher base accuracy or whatnot, maybe that's also to account for how the new format of evasion works, which if you guys were not up to date for how the evasion rework works, it's gonna work similar to DR now, where it's not gonna be where if you miss, you take zero damage currently, right? But if you miss after the changes, you have a reduced amount of damage. And so perhaps the accuracy is to account for that as well. But we won't really be able to see how it actually feels until it reaches live servers, because, you know, global lab changes have always been a little bit on the iffier side when testing. And also, like, there's not many people who do have access to the global labs as well, if they were wanting to do those, you know, changes as well. And so it's kind of just like, oh, we're kind of waiting for Korea to get them first, and then probably they'll do the testing.
Stop. They need to launch these globally initially. We're going to give it to KR first, and they're going to play test it for us. But number one, they don't want to do that. And we all want to play test it so that we can all give feedback. Right, it includes all the regions. 100%, yeah. Right, that way it's not just KR giving feedback. Number two, KR sucks at giving feedback. Those guys had the node war changes for like 3 weeks and didn't realize their horse wasn't respawning with them. Like, what are we talking about? It just doesn't make any sense to only give the changes to KR and not the rest of the world. So like, I'm hoping that everyone is able to get the GLab changes at the same time. But like, as content creators, it's important, like, as players, guys, it's important not to panic when you see the DR innovation changes on the global labs, because as they said, there's pretty much no way to test these. Our global lab servers, if you don't understand, the damage on GLabs and everything is just, it's just not it, bro. It's completely different than live servers. So, like, you'll one-shot people with a skill that doesn't do any damage on live servers. It just doesn't make any sense. So like, there's no real way to test this, but as content creators, it's very important that we create as much pandemonium as possible, because that's our job. Okay. Yeah. So it's very important to start panicking. Oh my God. It's very important to start panicking. Realistically speaking though, everything is going to be tankier. And people are saying evasion is dead because of how evasion works now. Certain people that I'm looking at on screen need so much Jesus that I don't think a Christian hotline could help them. But like, I do think that like evasion isn't going to be kind of in a rough spot based on how they said it's going to be reworked. You're guaranteed to be hit by like 10% of a skill regardless of what happens now. So like 10% of the damage that somebody throws out is going to hit you. And so people are kind of panicking about this. They say that DR is way better now. You're going to get more DR just flat. Like, you're going to get 81 DR flat. And then because they're changing how evasion works and you're going to be hit by everything, people are speculating that evasion is going to be kind of rough around the edges. But, like, I believe that our developers will get it right the fourth time around. Okay, not the first time, not the second time. We'll start getting there the third time, and then the fourth time. Nobody fools the developers 7 times in a row and gets away with it, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that they are going to fuck this up. It is 100% going to be a colossal fuck up the first time it comes out, but that's why it's important to give it to everybody so that we can all play test it and tell you how terrible you are at making these changes, right? So, like, but, like, you got to let everybody give the feedback so that you can make a system that works. This affects everyone. You have to give it to everyone and let them go, since we can't. Normally, I would say on any normal game, I would say, okay, let's all just go test it on the global apps before we get it live. You know what I mean? You can't do that in this case because that's how Black Desert works. So like, yeah, I think that like they basically just have to give it to us and we have to move with it. One thing we haven't talked about are, and this is like a really big deal, but like if everyone kind of glosses over it, they're giving the evasion gloves the accuracy.
25 more accuracy.
Yeah. The same accuracy as DR, which like assuming that evasion feels just as tanky as DR when the changes come out.
Wouldn't it be better to go evasion? Yeah.
Well, it's not necessarily better to go evasion, but like the pendulum for what is better in PvE. Normally, the argument for DR and PvE is really just you get 25 more accuracy, so you can hit the mobs more effectively, right? Now, you don't have that anymore. And since they're stripping the damage reduction, like all the all DP upskills on most classes has been removed on the global labs. And a lot of classes that were not evasion before and didn't have evasion passives before are getting evasion passives, like Dark Knight.
It's
getting like an evasion passive. So like I don't know. I feel like that if they can nail evasion, that suddenly evasion and DR and PvE are like both reasonable.
Synonymous.
Like they're both playable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I feel vindicated because I've been telling new players to build, and I'm like, hey, build for your class. Do not build DR just because you feel like it's slightly better in PvE. You need to build evasion if your class has evasion passives, like on a Mystic or something, right? Like Mystic has a lot of evasion classes. They're like, but people are telling me not to go evasion until I'm like 720 gear score. I'm like, no, just build evasion from the get-go. Your class has evasion passives. You're meant to be built evasion. Mm-hmm. And the developers are constantly swinging the pendulum in PvE. It used to be for a long time evasion was better in PvE.
Because you were evasion,
And then for a long time it was DR. Right, and now we're swinging much more back towards the center, and like I feel vindicated having given God knows how many players advice on their gear and telling them to kind of go the correct way. I will say that for what it's worth, Ranger is getting evasion passives, so like I don't know how I feel about changing an entire class's build structure in like a patch like this, you know what I mean? Because like players have invested trillions of silver into like their gear path. And now you're just going to change it on them. You know what I mean? Like, oh, now now I can suddenly build evasion? Like, what are we talking about? So I'm not really sure about that per se, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you guys considering maybe going, like, evasion? Or do you think DR is just going to be way better? On paper, it does look like DR is going to be stronger right now.
Yeah, that is an interesting direction they were going to take, where I read on the dev notes, they were trying to make that, you know, classes be less of the influence of why you would go towards a DP direction, right? Meaning, you know, if you're a ninja or a kuno or a lan, you know, you would be more leaning towards evasion, whereas if you were like a guardian or something, you would be more leaning towards DR. And now they're like, again, as you said before, like swinging the pendulum more in the center, where you know, your class is not your determining factor as much anymore. It's your gear. It's like your itemization, which I thought was an interesting choice and might actually provide more gear diversity in a way where, you know, you're not like strictly, like if you're a ninja, you could potentially build DR to counter, you know, the people with a lot of AP, or stick with evasion or whatnot to counter the people. Cause you know, that's how the relationship is now with accuracy and evasion, is that evasion counteracts accuracy and DR counteracts AP, and so it's kind of like you kind of just like got to build what is gonna be like, I don't know if what the meta is gonna be now, because it's kind of like switching it up, it's kind of like shaking it up, it's kind of like what's that analogy with the like the snow globe thingy? Maybe that's happening right now. The snow globe,
you're shaking analogy up with the snow globe. I've brought this up before, but like I and Jay really liked it, but like, so my analogy for balance, analogy for balance, like good balance, is your objective as a balance team is not to like perfectly balance everything. No, that would be unfun and boring. Nobody likes it when everything is completely balanced. Instead, what you want to do is you want to shake things up like super violently for like a short period of time, like in the preseason. League of Legends is a perfect example of this. The big changes for League of Legends all come out in the preseason. The entire game's metagame gets turned on its head. Items change, the map changes, how wards work changes, all this stuff happens, right? And they... like, again, you're shaking up a snow globe, and then you set the snow globe down, and then over the course of the next few months, you start to balance little things. The dust starts to settle, right? All of the things in the snow globe start to settle down, and you start to get a clear picture of what the metagame actually looks like in a game. And then, right when the metagame looks picture, like, frame perfect, you have a big tournament, like Worlds in this case, to showcase who has mastered the metagame for that year. Then, after Worlds, you shake it back up again, and you repeat, okay? Like, this is, like, this is basically the model for what good balance looks like, but at no point really are you really looking at a super balanced game state until the very end of the season. And to be honest with you, the most fun part of the season is right at the start, where everyone's theory crafting, people come back to the game to try stuff out, everything's different, certain champions that were never playable before are now playable, right? Like in BDO, we're shaking the metagame up, everyone's looking at Succession Noble like, yo, she's kind of cute. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
She got a big shield.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, and I think that a shakeup like that is important to a game's like health and success. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a complete for a while, but like, we love, especially as content creators, and we love fires. Fires are awesome. You know what I mean? We're sitting over here fanning it like, oh boy. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, just look at the node war changes, man. Look how much content people have made off the node war changes. It's absolutely insane. So like, I don't know. How do you guys feel about like the changes overall? Like, do you feel like making a frontline tankier and making like the backline kind of do less damage? Because your evasion shreds got nerfed too. All of the evasion shreds, like Voltaic Pulse, for example, got completely, not completely gutted, but definitely got nerfed into the ground. So like, you're not going to be able to shred as much evasion. But accuracy accessories got giga buffed, like insane. I don't know. How do you guys feel about like kind of a meta shift like this? What do you feel like is going to be really good?
I've been a long-term anti-fan of the one-shot meta because it's just, in my opinion, it's just not fun. Someone comes at you off-screen, you can't even see them, they kill you, it's boring, whatever. I think that a longer time to kill was probably the more fun parts of the game, in my opinion. Although, like we were saying earlier, with it being a tankier meta, that can be really complex if not balanced correctly, because then you basically create unkillable targets if they're too far ahead in gear score, or if the scaling's not done right, or if there is no like class to do that shredding. It can be really complex, so it's kind of like once we get and test it on the live servers and we can give good feedback, you know, people have to make sure they're giving good feedback on the forums. And I think they have like a, I don't know if they still run that update Discord where they basically go through like the global lab changes and you can post information on there, but basically posting in the official Discord if they have feedback for when the update comes out or anything in the forums. I know people aren't the biggest fan of forums, but that's the only way that they look at things, and you directly can communicate with them to tell them good, bad, yes, no. We'll see. I'm hoping it's going to be good. I figure PA's done the numbers and done the math, but I mean, that's also putting a lot of faith in them because like you said, we've trusted them, you know, 8 times before. So we'll see, I guess, right?
For what it's worth, it does look like they've kind of covered their bases.
Right.
On this one.
Yeah, that's how normally, I see it.
Yeah, normally when we get changes like this, it's in like a piecewise thing where they think of one thing and then they're like, oh yeah, we should change this too. And then, oh my God, mm-hmm. we should change this too. In this case, the reason the global app notes are so long is because they they thought of a lot of stuff and they're changing it kind of all at the same time. And I like that they're just shaking it up, man. Just shake up that globe because like, it's going to make great content overall. But like, and I think that people will come back to the game because they want to try. They want to see what their class feels like. They want to see what the changes feel like. And as long as they're kind mm-hmm. of, even if they mess it up the first couple of times, like obviously Riot doesn't get it right every time either, right? Like there's some crazy busted stuff you can hotfix. As long as you're changing with relative consistency, players stay happy, players stay engaged, players stay playing your game. I think it's just an objective W. What are you guys thinking of getting super armor, like a massive damage reduction on super armor? Like a kind of across the board for like the big super armor classes, like even Awakening Witch, you know, she's mainly a frontal guard class, but you know, like her super armors are getting like 30% damage reduction on them now. All of them.
I mean,
so like your Frigid Fog will have 30%, right? Like,
yeah, I was going to say, looking at it from a PvE perspective, I mean, if some classes are getting up to 25% damage reduction on super armors and up to 60% for frontal guards, I mean, we're just going to be able to grind a lot more comfortably. Hey, maybe this was the solution for Crystal Break.
Just don't die.
It's finally come. Just don't die, guys.
Just don't die. That don't was die, Jay's,
guys.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get tanky. Okay, we won't die anymore, guys.
Yeah, that's the that is the Jay's solution to everything. Having a problem with crystal loss when you die? No problem. Just don't.
Just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's one more thing that I think a lot of people have glossed over with the reduced amount of hits is that from what I heard, like the abilities seem to come out faster. We might be able to grind faster too, because you know we're shooting out our abilities a little bit faster. There's less, like, I guess, registers of why it's delaying it. It's not like too much faster, because you know I heard from some people it's like about 5% faster, but hey, you know, it's hard to, you know, not get behind something that's gonna make the game a lot more smoother. But there's also one other opinion that I also heard from people who were testing in the global labs, is that they felt, I don't know if it like matters, but I guess it matters to those people, but they were saying how they felt like the abilities felt a little bit less satisfying now that my 20 hit ability now hits for 5 times, and in like, you know, the sound effects is not as prominent. And so I don't know if that's like a big deal to some people. I don't really mind too much. I mean, again, I'm all for being able to grind a little bit more efficiently, a little bit more comfortably as well. So I think this is just like a W, like this whole change is a W for PvE, and hello, PvE. Hi, me. So
yeah, you're going to be way tankier in PvE, presumably. Although across the board, you'd be tankier.
Maybe they have to add so much tankiness because the hits are going to be hitting really hard. Because they had to change, because they're changing hits, so we're not going to be getting as much regen. So they have to add a lot more tankiness, because like if you go to Olin's right now, it's like, yeah, some of those abilities will one-shot you, but like you compensate it with frontal guards or iframes or different stuff. But like if you're trying to front end take the damage, and now that we have like scaling DP, I'm really curious how that's going to take into effect. If they had all the regular changes and then just like, hey, when you're in super armor, you get a little bit more tanky, because you're not supplementing that with like the stats that you used to have, or the on hit, or like you would dodge some of the hits because of evasion. And now that, like, because there are still some abilities, even though I have very low evasion, I will sometimes just get a lucky evasion proc where even at low evasion, the monster will miss me. So like that's not going to exist anymore, right? We're only taking reduced damage. So like all those instances of you dodging like 5 to 10% of the attacks is all going to eventually add up. And I'm curious if like the super armor changes are going to be like to complement those factors, or if truly they are just going into a tankier meta. I mean, like I said, presumably they've done the math, but until we like physically see it and we've played through it, you won't really know, right? And even then, like there might need to be more adjustments, right? Like, I mean, we went through, when Scholar came out, we went through like 4 months of nonstop feedback on the Discord, the official Discord, to give to PA, and luckily they listened to us, we got the feedback to them. There were some issues that got fixed. The class is in a really, really good state right now because of listening to that feedback. And I'm really hoping that if, you know, when these come out, they're going to be listening to whether it's class discords or however the, because I believe the changes came through like the ambassadors that were communicating with PA for the scholar class. So I'm curious if they're going to be communicating with ambassadors in each of the class discords, or if we're only going to go specifically on forums. I'm curious if they, I really feel like it would be a good idea when we have these big, big, big changes of like, hey, PA needs our feedback, if they would like consolidate it and be like, hey guys, please post here or here, rather than like just feedback. Because I feel like when people say just feedback, they'll just talk about it, but we won't make official posts, versus like in, for example, the Scholar Discord, we had to have like posts that said what was wrong, what we needed to fix, and how we would fix it or how you would adjust it. And the feedback was really clear. And like I'm saying, everything that was a problem other than the PvP side of Scholar stuff was looked at, adjusted, and listened to on a serious level. So I'm really hoping we can do the same for this update. I'd really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, overall, you have massive SA. The frontal guard changes are big, too, for block classes. I don't know. I think it makes block classes unkillable. Personally, if I had to...
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I think that, like, this... So, some people would probably disagree, but I think that, like, it feels like we're eliminating a lot of like 1v1 or open world culture through a lot of the updates. And so I'm curious if like a lot of people's contention with grab classes is that in a duel for spot or a 1v1 or an open world fight, basically all grab classes trump everything. And I'm curious if like the concept now is like, well, we're adding more identity to classes, because now if you're a block class, you're going to be able to live unless if you're like, basically you're going to counter anybody that basically doesn't have a grab, and then grabs are going to be the counters to that. So that way there's more specific identity for like, okay, well, if you're a grab class, you're going to be looking at basically anybody who's that frontline with a shield, whatever. And this maybe changes that meta back to, because I remember back in the day, and I mean, this is a long time ago, back in like the Medaya Node War days or whatever, or open world days back in Medaya, where like there were Saucon Wars where you would like have a literal front line of people with shields frontlining because they couldn't be killed, and the only way to stop them was by grabbing them. And I'm curious if that's like the sort of meta they're going back to. I don't really know.
You're right, but in this case, if we had like an offense ball, right, of like people, mm-hmm. all right, and in the front, like you said, you have this big wall of shield right. classes that is basically unkillable. Hear me out. The second line of people is another big wall of shield classes that is basically unkillable and does an infinite amount of damage. Then, right. and this is where it gets crazy, the third and back line is actually another wall of shield classes, which is unkillably tanky.
Well, I think the idea would then be that they could shift again, if they're going to do the snowball method of shaking up the meta, then they can create classes that pierce through blocks, like specific classes designed to counteract those, right? Or, you know, you have the grab classes that pull those, so then you can break past the front line to do certain things. I mean, obviously, no matter what, people are going to find a way to overabuse and use whatever meta possible to win any situation. But if this is the method they're going through, they're going to have to figure out something, because otherwise we're going to be, it's instead of it being Drac meta, it's going to be frontal block people with guard meta or Nova meta. Whatever,
don't
right?
Corsairs have that like debuff that prevents recovery of forward guard? Maybe that could be something that's like added to other classes.
Oh, you know, Corsairs are up huge. Yeah, I was wondering why people were saying that. Corsair, actually, no, they're down tremendous. Who am I kidding, bro? They got their evasion nerf into the ground. Like, they got absolutely turbo shit on. Like it's crazy, but like the frontal guard shred might be super good. Maybe that's because the frontal guard shred is really good.
Right. There's a lot to consider, and until we really see it, it's really tough to look at it on paper. You know, a lot of things can look a certain type of way, but until it's like actually played through, like yeah, back in the old tanky meta, it was insane that some classes were literally invincible no matter what you could do. I mean, it's just horrible. It was not fun. So if they figure out a way to make it work, then cool. But if it doesn't work, it's going to lead to a lot of people being frustrated.
Yeah. Bro, that dude's name is Katniss Evergreen, and he's in a green out. That's crazy, bro. yeah, I just think, like, again, it's very difficult to say exactly what the meta is going to be. Because again, we can't test these changes. All we can do is read them and speculate wildly, which is my job as a creator. So like, again, in my opinion, I think the frontline DR classes are absolutely going to be cracked out of their mind. I think the flanking assassin classes are down tremendous. And I'm not saying that necessarily just because their players are just as down bad as their characters are going to be in game, but like seriously, I think that like most of like the flanking assassins are typically kind of evasion classes, and evasion doesn't look like it looks necessarily super great right now. And then since everybody's tankier, they just struggle to do their job as effectively.
Yeah.
Jay, do you think that Awakening Witch should have gotten, like they said, it was based on like the width of your shield, basically, how much DR you got from your frontal guard? And let's be honest, as big as Nova's shield actually is, Awakening Witch's block is definitely the widest in the game. And we got nothing.
She's using magic.
Oh, yo, shut your mouth, magic, bro. We deserve the dirt out of the we deserve the frontal guarded like super armor. Oh, I will say that Awakening Wizard did not get as much percent DR on their super armor as Witch did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For the very first time in balance history, Witch got something that Wizard didn't necessarily get.
Well, I've always like thought that Witch always was like sort of like the defensive caster, and Wizard was going to be the offensive caster. So this might be going to follow that theme. You know, that I do really like that flavor of making certain classes be like leaning towards like the theme of like, you know, the shield classes having more defense because they have a shield, and so that would be cool to see more for other classes. Just like, you know, more like cool themes like.
Bro Bear, thanks for the raid, big man. Really appreciate that. Guys, go get Bro Bear a follow. He's our translator for the UN podcast.
Like, put out the fire demons. I like those kinds of like flavor stuff for classes, and that'd be cool to see more like more effectively in combat situations or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, like, again, Witch is the defense. You say defensive, Wizard's offensive. I like to say that Witch is the bottom. Wizard is more of a top situation. If you find yourself on bottom very frequently, or you want to be stepped on, Witch is kind of the class that you play. Versus if you're more of a top, you're more of a Giga Chad situation, you're going to play the Awakening Wizard, right? And Awakening Wizard already has a lot more damage than Awakening Witch does. So I think that Witch getting more defensive stats, like her block's going to give her more damage reduction, like buff. Like you're going to get like more DP when you block now. Instead of 20, you're getting like 30. And then you're getting damage reduction on all of your super armors. Keep in mind, Jay, that might change how the class fundamentally plays. Remember how, like, before, we could only really use two super armors, Voltaic and Thunderstorm, right? Like, that's it. That's the only two, like, SAs that you could really get away with using. Now, Frigid Fog is open. The new Magnus skill is open, right? Earthquake is open. Like, it kind of opens up new possibilities for Witch, since, like, the other skills are actually usable in your kit.
Yeah, 100%.
Really? That's all you have to add to that? That's fucking crazy. Absolutely. Wow, bro. Like, I'm on my back. I'm going to need some ibuprofen for my back because I'm carrying this conversation so hard. Okay, Blonde. Scholar got like almost literally no changes. So as far as Berserker goes, Succession got some pretty big buffs. And like Zerker overall is getting a lot tankier. Do you like playing the frontline Zerker? If you had your choice, did you play Awakening or Succession?
Oh man, probably Awakening. Awakening's just way more fun, but that's more of like you're doing that for yourself. If you're a person for the team, you're playing suck, right? So it just depends what kind of man you want to be. You know, you want to be a good soldier, or you want to be a solo operator.
I don't know.
So I'm more of a big team guy, so I think that Awakening's better. Mm-hmm. Like if you're just want to be that kind of guy, but I'm more of a follow orders kind of deal, you know? So if someone says go this, I'm going this.
You say that, but Awakening Berserker can be a team player by simply killing the enemy team. They can't hurt you if they're dead.
Everybody says, right? And then they go and they get 100 kills, but you still lose the Node War. So it's like, you really doing anything if you're just picking off all the onesies on the side that don't really matter rather than doing the pushes? Like, every time I see, oh, we lost the Node War, but oh, I got 100 kills. Like, are you really that important? Like, I'm sure in some ways, like, those flex teams really do work, but those usually aren't the flex team guys. Those are the people just doing their own thing, right? But, I mean, I'm not saying that Awakening Berserker can't get stuff done. Just the team play is definitely on the Succession right now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% the case, but right?
I'm really excited. I've always played like top lane Bruiser in like League of Legends or different games like that. I always like the tankier kind of characters, and it is kind of weird that Scholar didn't really get anything, right? It's like I guess we're just relying on iframes, and I mean she does have quite a lot of frontal block and different stuff, and a lot of her abilities that rotate between super armor, frontal guard, iframe. So I'm curious if they just don't know what to adjust with her because they don't have enough data or time with it, and so they. You know, they've got plenty of data on Zerker, so they're able to be like, all right, we know what Zerker needs, and we're just going to make him insane. So I'm curious if that's the, that's it, you know?
No. Okay, moving to our next topic here. The developers said that overall, they want to talk more, like moving forward, the way they want to balance is more, like, itemization-focused instead of class-focused.
We kind of covered that a little earlier than expected, but one thing I did want to like talk about that I forgot to mention was that we didn't talk about was like the summon damage, didn't we? Then they
that's a joke, bro. Like summon damage, woo, super great. Well, but here's the thing.
Okay, so one thing I did hear,
they have literally, how many times have we had summon damage buffed? Only to, you're rubbing your hands together, you're so excited in PvE, and then you get out there, and you go to hit a mob with Equilibrium Break, yuck, oh, baby's gonna do so much damage. It doesn't do fucking damage at all. The whole time. Like, you literally, like, they buff summon damage, we buffed summon damage by 400%. You're still hitting like a squeaker toe. Well, it's crazy.
Okay, so I did hear, that, When Divios was testing on the global ads with his striker, his clones was actually doing like work. And so I'm like thinking, hey, maybe the summon damage was like fixed or at least like improved. Stop since it. They changed the, because the entire like, you know, of DP in evasion was just like reworked and stuff like that. And perhaps that like caused like a major shift in like how summon damage is also going to be functioning formula wise. And I think this is important because like if they were to include new classes that have summon focus stuff, like, you know, we've been talking about Necromancer for a long time now, and if they were to do like those kinds of themes and stuff like that, then it's, you know, they gotta like fix it whenever they can to include those classes. And so I'm like really hoping that, I mean, as someone who's played two summon focused classes, which is Witch and Awakening Wusa, you know, I'm really hoping copiuming that they've fixed some sort of, you know, dealio with the formulas that they have currently after the changes. So maybe Sucknova will be OP now with the, you know, maybe they fixed it for Sucknova too, and Sucknova's up in that way too.
Bro, what? You said Awakening Wusa is a summon class? Is it just like the flowers you put on the ground?
Yeah, all her flowers are considered summon damage.
Oh, that's like
the
nothing.
General rule of thumb also, for if you guys are like wondering like what is considered summon damage, is if you can start an ability and the ability like continues after you like cancel out of it, that is usually a good rule of thumb. So for example, like something you might not think that with summon damage is like Musa. Musa's like blade projectiles when he like, you know, swings his sword, or what is it, his pole arm or whatever, and it creates those blade projectiles. That's considered summon damage, and so like things like that, like anything that you start an animation and it continues, that is generally would be considered summon damage, and that is going to be affecting, you know, I guess a lot of classes really with the way, you know, the formulas work, and we don't know. We'll see how it feels on the live servers.
Yeah, I am super skeptical, man. They have never gotten summon damage right.
Oh, yeah,
they
for
just,
sure.
They just can't. They
a track
can't
record.
Do it. So, like,
has I, not been good.
Yeah, I am so skeptical that they can actually get it right. And like, whenever they buff it, I just overlook it. I just completely gloss over it. I don't even, like, it doesn't faze me anymore. You know what I mean? I'm just dead to it. Yeah, we did talk about, item focus or itemization focus a little bit earlier, but like we can expand on it a little bit because like this direction is completely different than what we saw before. So like they're taking away class's ability to counter you. So if you guys don't understand, what used to happen in the past is that like they had class damage modifiers. So like if you had like a Dark Knight, I'll just say DK, you had a Musa and you had a Berserker, right? And on the other side, you had another DK, another Musa, and another Berserker. Okay? The Dark Knight is only going to be doing 85% damage to the Berserker, but it'll do 115% damage to the other Dark Knight. But, like, it'll do 95% damage to the Musa. And the Musa, in turn, does, like, 120% damage to the Dark Knight, 90% damage to the other Musa, and like 95% damage to the Berserker. So before any of your modifiers or damage is like put in there, the damage is just modified. So like Striker Mystic, for example, when Striker and Mystic came out, Dark Knight was doing like 40% damage to Striker Mystic. It was literally insane. Like they just completely nerfed your damage into the ground before you ever even got a chance to have gear. So like, I've been asking for them to kind of remove this forever because, let's be honest, it's just another layer of just like dumb that like players just don't understand. And the reason I think they kept it around is because it gives them another layer to balance with, but it just makes it more complicated. Well, now instead of doing class modifiers, they're going to try to make it so that your gear has the ultimate impact on like how much damage you're doing, and what the class that you're playing matters a lot less. I think that's just kind of an interesting way to go after they've been kind of going a different way. Honestly, they've been kind of in this gray area for a while, right? They did Striker Mystic, which like hard counters the magic damage classes. Then they have like Draconia, which basically just shits on everybody. But like it's kind of strange to see them pivot like this. But see, they said they're going away from class like specialization, like damage modifiers, and they're going towards itemization focus. And then in the patch, they buffed Striker and Mystic by like a gajillion percent in their tankiness. So, like, I don't really know what to think about it. I mean, like, how do you guys feel about like having like zero class, like actual class counters and just having it focus more on your gear specifically?
I mean, as you mentioned before, the go ahead, Blum.
I just think there's an interesting dynamic of like they can pull away those layers, they can readjust the gear, and then I think after the changes we're about to go through, they can then add the next layer or figure out what kind of modifying types of damage or types of abilities or whatever. Like, I think they want to figure out what the meta looks like with the changes or what the game looks like after the changes when it's all actually played by players, not just on math sheets, and then they can kind of adjust from there. I definitely don't think this is like a single step, like this is all we're going to see kind of problem fix. I think that it's just it feels like I've said this every time they do any kind of update. It's like a lot of steps in a progress that we're going to see. And I think it just takes that kind of time to get things adjusted. Moving away from like class identity and more into the gear identity, I think they'll then swing back into class identity once they've figured out how to fix that underlying problem. I think. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of faith to have to hope that they're going to do it because, like, you know, like you said, 8 times a charm, but... you know, I mean, they're trying instead of just leaving it the way it is, right? And I think that shows some kind of effort that they know that something's wrong and they're just trying to figure out how to get it fixed and situated. So I think it's possible we can get it fixed and go back to having more class identity. I just think the problem is getting rid of like some of the overtoned layers of quote unquote identity that we have right now. Fixing the gear situation, fixing DR, fixing evasion, because I feel like there's a lot of issues already with like evasion accuracy, DR meta, and the rotation of like the fact that, you know, if you want to PvP in open world or something like that where it's not where it's uncapped and you can do whatever, you're swapping constantly and certain people are able to turn certain classes into actual gods by having certain sets of gear, or they combine this many things with this thing and an evasion build or an accuracy thing, and I think they kind of want to move away from that, rather just make everything kind of main staple and there's a projected gear path so there isn't as much diversity, because having diverse classes and also diverse gear means that some classes are going to spike to be like way better than the rest while the meta is down here, and then some class designs are going to be way above the meta, and I think that they're just trying to sort of figure and adjust that by doing a baseline, like, you know, fix sort of to everything and kind of start back at ground zero, and I think this is just the foundational path to get there. Like I said, it has to follow up with a bunch of other updates. This isn't just a one update thing, but I have faith.
Okay, so we had a comment in the audience that said, just food for thought, if you guys feel like strikers are too tanky on the global labs at the moment, have you considered C20 Zarka or Dandelion for the 4 species damage? People keep yapping and complaining and just waste their time instead of finding a productive solution. Classic BDO mentality, I swear. Okay, I'm going to keep it a buck. Encouraging people to go get Zarka and Dandelion to fix tankiness for 4 species damage is laughable. That is not going
to
do anything.
This guy's just trying to sell his cafras, bro.
A, yeah, true. B, we have Dead God weapons coming out in like 2 months, and you're telling people to go spend 70 billion on, or 60 billion on C20 weapons? What's going on right now? They're not going to be able to turn into dead god weapons? That's crazy. That's crazy. He's trolling. Okay, the last thing I wanted to do today is I wanted to speculate about what's going to happen at the Heidel Ball. Blonde, you are not going to the Heidel Ball because you're a pussy, right?
Yep, that's true.
Okay. And Jay, you're not going to go to the Heidel Ball because you're a shut-in loser, right? Okay. I'm going to be there live so I can cuss them out in person. So I will do the yelling for all of us, okay? But... at the Heidel Ball, I'm actually surprised that we're getting these like on the global labs before the ball happens. This is insane. And personally, I think that they should launch them to live this week or even next week. Because I'll be honest with you, launching it before the ball is a huge win for them. If people love the changes, they're up tremendous because they're going to hit the changes straight into the Heidel Ball, right?
Yeah,
if people hate the changes, no big deal, because we're like, we hate these. Oh, a hammer. Okay? We're very easily distracted. Okay? So, like, it doesn't matter. As I said on the UN podcast, they need to launch these before the ball actually happens, because if they do, we will literally, we're like Dory with this shit. We have short-term memory loss. Like, they'll just release the hammer and stuff, and we're just going to be happy that they're talking about new content and stuff. And then the DR evasion reworks won't seem as severe. But, like, we can still give, like, feedback on it. I think they need to try to launch it, like, worldwide immediately and then go into the ball and then release their next stuff. If I was them, like, to be honest, that's just a smart move, in my opinion. But what do you guys think we're going to get at the Heidel Ball? I'll say it. We said it last time. I will say it again because there is no way that we don't get the last level of the dungeon this time. Ain't no way. Like,
truly, we get the...
What's the big thing that you guys are kind of expecting from the ball? Personally, yeah, sure, the last level of the dungeon. I would like we're going to get something akin to raids. We're going to get, like, the group boss blitz stuff.
Yeah, skilled boss blitz.
I'm kind of hoping for, like, a more of, like, a large-scale PvE thing, or, like, a 20-man raid of some kind, or some kind of an announcement like that. Some big PvE content that isn't just going in a geometric shape. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping for. Blonde, what's the big thing that you're hoping for?
There's a lot. I'm really surprised that we got the Deva Rings, because I thought that was going to be the big end of the year announcement. Yeah. But I think the release of that was to get people, end game players to play a little bit more and be motivated. I think that's why we also have a really low drop rate on these things, is to force those players to get back and grinding more and more and more. But that's, like, I guess a different conversation. I think we're going to be getting, right, because they talked about the rework of the blood, the Altar of Blood. So that's going to be some PvE group activity. Yes. That's going to drop all the different devos. So that's going to be cool. Something else you can do spam time with that's not running in circles, but is also, like, maybe every level is different kind of thing, because they said they're completely reworking it. So that would be cool, like a gauntlet sort of protect the tower kind of thing. I would say the same thing. The guild system, where you're doing the guild boss blitz of, like, this is your weapon upgrade system, right? The guild activities that then do that. I'm really curious what they mean by, like, those guild activities. Obviously, it's probably not just going to be summoning your guild bosses and then fighting them. It's going to be probably something more intuitive or more active. I'm really hoping for something cool, but that's kind of the main thing. And obviously, as a, the middle of the bingo card is fifth dungeon, right? I mean, obviously, everybody... fifth dungeon.
Oh my god, and we skipped
fourth. I think that's, like, kind of the big ticket item that everybody wants to see, because this is what wraps the story into what's going to be the new release, right? We have Land of the Morning Light 2, and then basically from there we have the Demon Land, and fourth dungeon wraps up right into that. So sorry, go ahead, Jacob.
Just cover it all, jackass.
Jacob has nothing to say.
No. Well, you didn't cover the new class. I mean, the new class has a really cool aesthetic. We've been waiting for another male class for a while now, and he has cool weapons. He has a pipe and a sword. I mean, the new region as well, like Land of Demons, like, new content. New regions usually come out with new pieces of gear, new items to get excited about, new things to grind for. Actually, when you mentioned, like, the Deva Rica rings earlier, I was gonna say, like, I kind of feel like conspiracy theory that they released the Deva rings early. At the same time Withering Waves came out, so people were grinding for the Deva Rings instead of Withering Waves. And that was also my excuse for not trying out Withering Waves yet, was, hey, I need to get my Deva Ring because everyone is tapping their Deva Rings.
That would not be the first time they adjusted release schedules based on other games. They did the same thing for one of the WoW releases too.
Yeah. You're missing out if you haven't tried Withering Waves. That game is so
I'm scared to try out a gacha game because I know I like it, because it's right up my alley with, like,
it's my very first gacha game. It's got amazing combat, so it's just like BDO. It's a beautiful world, so you're gonna like it, right? You're a complete weeb and a total loser, so it's a perfect game for you. Also, you're a PvE Andy because you're terrible at video games, but, like, so are the rest of us. These are games that,
oh my god,
people that are terrible at video games, this is what we play. But most importantly, Jay, I'm free to play, and I have GN, which is the new dragon guy. The trick is, Jay, you just go to the menu and you say, guys, how do I get the new dragon guy? You don't even name him because you don't know what the f- his name is. And they say, oh, you have to pull for him. Here we go. Oh, so and then you just open. Yeah. So you just open one of the packs and you just free to play pull it. Easy. First try. Right. The trick is to not know anything about the game. And you're like, oh, my God, what's that? Right. And then it tilts everyone in your audience, and I swear to God, you'll be carried. You get to be free to play. I haven't spent a dime on it. I have all the stuff. It's really easy.
Money doesn't matter, Jay. That's not the point.
Plus,
it's a corruption of the mind.
Plus, Yin Lin's coming out or whatever. She's kind of a queen. She's kind of a unit. She's kind of a unit.
Trying to corrupt you.
Blonde, might as well start blonde, you're not like a.
Yeah, actually, you know blonde, what, Jay?
No.
I have something to introduce
stop,
you to.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
Thing called a group
abort.
Iron Man that
abort.
Is really really fun. Stop. It has a million life skills, and there's tons of activities to do.
Oh,
and they're
wow.
updating the game every day. With
yeah,
new
and
stuff.
You literally
there's a cool dragon guy in that
there's
game too.
There's a cool dragon yeah. guy in that game too. Yeah,
Jay, you know how beautiful your Wusa looks with all those wonderful polygons and how smooth the textures look. Now, picture your Wusa if she was three blocks on your screen.
Listen, there are graphics.
How hard would you be? You know what I mean?
We can make it look better.
There's nothing better. Nothing says I'm running a 4090 graphics card like playing old school RuneScape, you dipshit. Like, fuck. Like,
it,
holy
we can make
moly.
It work, Jay. We can it's about it the content, okay. not the quality.
I see.
Okay?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. But that might be some cope that, like, the. Like the new content came out with Withering Waves. Yeah, sure, maybe, but I don't think that anybody stopped going to play Withering Waves because they wanted to grind for the Devil Rings. I actually feel like the Devil Rings are actually one of the easiest to get, like overall, because every time you go in, you're guaranteed two of them. And like, let's be honest, the people like Rapalus are pulling six rings out of one limbo.
Holy.
You know what I mean?
So,
and like everyone's selling them, and like, so they're like really easy to get a hold of. So like,
I don't know. I mean, EU is a very, very different story than NA. I mean, our tets are okay, but the bases are not there. But someone explained to me in my chat earlier yesterday or today that the perspective is that it shouldn't be from like mine and Jay's perspective where we're now working on this new thing that just got released. This is more of like anybody that's working on any Debo right now is also accumulating the rings kind of passively in the background. Mm-hmm. It's not something you're necessarily target grinding. So it's just going to be something that you accumulate and will get over time. And people that obviously are done with all the other Debos are then just getting other Debos and supplying to the market for the other players. So it's kind of a nice balanced market. It feels bad probably if you're only going for the Debo rings right now because you have everything else. I mean, unless you just buy a Tet and you just settle with that. But yeah, everybody that's trying to grind the tokens right now, either you're incredibly lucky and you're getting like one every 10 hours or you're incredibly unlucky and you've gotten one in 50 hours.
So, Jay, what was your prediction again? What was the big thing that you...
Prediction, new region, new class.
Okay, yeah, the class, right? Yeah, well, obviously we're gonna get the
new
class.
Region by the end of the year.
I think we're getting dead god weapons too. Nobody said dead god weapons. Hello, like the fallen god.
Well, that
weapons?
Comes with the guild activity we talked about, right? I mean, that's just
that's a gimme. He says, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Really,
okay,
you don't think
so...
we're getting that? They fast forwarded the Deporeca ring track so fast. I thought that stuff wasn't coming until August. I was like, oh, I got plenty of time to play RuneScape.
The
RVation
changes I thought was going to be.
I can't play RuneScape right now.
I thought the ball was literally going to be half of it was going to be the DR-evasion changes.
Yeah,
literally.
There was a lot that I was like, wait a second, we're getting all this now? So like, I'm really wondering, are they really kicking into overdrive over the last 2 years of content, new stuff? Or are we going to get like a ball and it's going to be like, all right, guys, we got one thing coming and that's it because we've been going into overdrive mode. I'm really curious what that's going to look like.
Right on. Well,
actually,
we are.
There was
okay,
one
go ahead, Jay.
More. Okay, I was going to say there's one more thing that I think they might announce, which is not BDO related or could be BDO related. But I remember they said that Crimson Desert is almost ready. And so I feel like they might also touch on that during the ball, right?
I'm going to eat. If they the second that game comes out, I am going to be eating in that category, bro. I am gonna love that game. I love like big open world games like that. It's like Black Desert player base, so everyone's gonna be
Black
watching
Desert,
it.
Elden
you know
Ring.
What I mean? Yeah, like it's just objective win for me. I am super, super excited for that game because I can just dive in and get my hands dirty with it, you know what I mean, and just go balls to the wall. I hope we do get a teaser for Crimson Desert.
That would be nice.
At the ball would be super sick. Very anticipated game. Okay, guys, you're not here because you're losers, but like, did you guys see anyone, like, what was your favorite outfit here? Yeah, Jacob, that's what you get.
The
see,
one
Jason.
Next to you. You
oh,
know,
yeah,
beautiful. Katniss Evergreen
see, Jay,
lover.
No, don't you dare take mine. Don't you dare.
Where's Katniss Evergreen?
Don't you dare take Katniss Evergreen. I literally said, and I was like, that's my favorite. I'm taking that one. Jay literally is not here, so the only one he could comment on was the one that I commented on earlier. You jackass. Yo, what a piece of crap.
Easy.
Yeah, you're an idiot. All right, Blonde, which one do you like the most?
Mine's the Shy in the front row with it's the dragon costume. That's pretty
But there is unique. No Shy in the front row. Wait, whoa.
Well, like on the right on the buckets and the barrels. On the
oh
net,
my god, jumping. Wait. How do you get that outfit?
Yeah, that's the dragon outfit.
Like, do you craft that in game?
Yeah, I think that's a craftable one, yeah.
Just like the Naga outfit. It looks like the chief. It looks like the chief of Doom Grim.
Yeah, I love it.
That's super sick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, then, if it's not Katniss Evergreen, it's either this guy. Because he's got the badass mask on. I like the shield and I like the dye. Big fan. His name is Call Me Dad. But, you know, we can get around that. It'll be fine. Or it's this ridiculous angles lawn over here for respectful reasons. So it's one of those two. One of those two. I'm going to take this one. Okay? I'm going to take this one. Because Jay took Katniss Evergreen. Like a jackass. We also are going to have an award for who needs the most Jesus that showed up here. And I'm going to go ahead and say it's Durastrix right here. You need more Jesus than I think a Christian hotline could actually provide to you. It's remarkable how much Christ you need in your life and don't actually have. Seek the light. Okay.
Amen.
All right, now let's do closing thoughts here. Let's start with, since we started with Blonde, Jay last time, we'll start with Blonde this time.
Closing thoughts, just like last week. We'll see. This is a stage in the development for a lot of stuff. I'm excited. I can't wait to test it. I really do hope it all comes globally. It'd be really silly to do KR and then us later like they've traditionally done. I think that would just be like nonsensical. Doesn't really make sense. Especially if this is something that they need feedback from every possible region from, not just KR to give like any kind of logical feedback on any major changes. That kind of makes sense. And then I'm hoping for the best for the Hyde Ball. I hope we can get tons of content for the rest of the year. I feel like we've already gotten so much. It's kind of crazy to ask for more, but I mean, if they're going to keep giving, I'm excited for it. So.
All right. Yeah. Right on. He didn't give himself a shout out, so I'll do it for him. Twitch.tv/Narelio, NARELIO. Jake, go ahead.
Closing thoughts is that I hope some damage is fixed, and congrats to Blonde Bear for the merchant ring. Let's go. And you can find me grinding for the devil ring at twitch.tv/JakenVTV before the T.
Right on. And I'm Blue Squadron. There's always something happening on my channel. We got the patch notes coming up next here. We got two new YouTube videos every day. So check that out. We're always we're actually getting better at the Twitter game, starting to figure out that algorithm a little bit. Instagram, we'll post some shorts and stuff on there. I'm kind of a reels guy on Instagram. Big fan of that stuff. But yeah, there's always something happening on my channel. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, make sure you check out us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just make sure you click that follow button for us. And then comment down below the video, because we look at the comments every week to see what kind of topics we should talk about for the following week. And there's a chance you might get featured on the next podcast. So make sure you guys comment below the video as well. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.